Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Come, for everything is now ready. In today's gospel reading, those are the words of the servant that he is to announce to those who have been invited to this great banquet that has been prepared by the Master. Jesus tells this parable here as he is at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, having a meal. He tells his story of someone who gives a great banquet, sends out his servant to people who have already been invited. They already know what's happening. Perhaps they've already gotten the save-the-date card. And now the servant announces to them that it's time. Now it's time. Everything is ready. Come. But yet these guests who have received the invitation, we don't know why they in particular have received the invitation. We haven't heard that these are special friends of this man who prepares the banquet. We haven't heard that they're maybe big donors to a cause and they can give a lot of money to something, that this is a fundraising dinner and they can contribute a lot. No, we haven't heard that. We haven't heard that all of these people are able to pay back the man who's holding this banquet, and they themselves give a large banquet for him and for others as well. We haven't heard any of that. We haven't heard anything about these people who are invited that tells us that they are special, unique, set apart in any way. They haven't earned this invitation. But nevertheless, they have been given the invitation. And so what will they do now that it is time for them to come and receive what appears to us to be an unearned, undeserved free gift? What will they do with this free gift? Well, our text says that they all alike begin to make excuses. The one says that he's purchased a field and he needs to go and look at it. Now, surely, if you bought a field, you would hope that you'd looked at it ahead of time, that you'd already seen it, that you hadn't just been sold this field by some traveling salesman, some realtor who came through town, and just bought it up without looking at it. Why now, when you have a free gift, do you want to go and look at the field? And then there's the man who says, well, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I need to go examine them. Well, surely, again, like with the field, you'd hope that you would have looked at these oxen before you purchased them. But no, he needs to suddenly, when everything is ready, when he could receive this free gift, suddenly he needs to go and look at them. And the interesting thing about this, too, is that these oxen in this field, if they are really to do anything for you, involve a great deal of work. For that field to be productive and profitable and beneficial to you, you have to plow it, you have to plant it, you have to harvest it. There's a lot of work involved. Those oxen need to be trained, perhaps, need to be fed, need to be guided, need to be taken care of, if they are to be of any profit or benefit to you. They involve a great deal of work. But here is a free gift. Here is a meal that's been prepared for you. Here is the fruit, the end result of what you would have all those fields and oxen and so many other things for. Here, the fields have already been cultivated. The food has already been grown. The oxen have already been trained and the fields have been plowed. The cattle have already fed on the grass of that field, and they've been butchered and they've been prepared and the meat has been cooked and it's ready for you. It's all ready. It's all done. All the work has been finished. But these people, it seems, would rather focus on the work of their own hands, their own blood, sweat, and toil. Go and pay attention to the things that involve a great deal of work and time and effort rather than coming and receiving the free gift, where all the work has been done, where it is finished. Well, then there's a third excuse I haven't mentioned yet. And that's the man who says, well, I've married a wife. That's all he says. That's, it seems to him, a sufficient excuse that he doesn't need to go. He's married a wife. But surely, when many of you were married, if you invited someone who was married between the time you sent the save the date card and the time that you had the wedding, surely you would welcome the spouse. In fact, it would probably have been on the invitation that that person and their guests could come. Surely this wife could have come to the banquet. And after all, this man who's married a wife, he is called to take care of her, to support her, to sacrifice for her, to give her what he needs, as Ephesians 5 speaks of, to nourish her as his own body. And here he has someone else who's willing to provide the food. How much better can it get here? Why not take her along? She can benefit from it as well. He has someone else who helps him in his task. But no, instead it seems he would rather do it on his own. All three of these excuses that we see despise the free gift and say, no, I'd rather do things my own way, my own time, with my own blood, sweat, and tears, rather than receiving a free gift that is offered to me. Well, how does this relate to us? And what does it mean in its context? Well, let's start by asking, what does it mean in its context? As I pointed out, Jesus is at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees. He is with some people who are reputed to be very religious people. People who know the promises of God, who have heard God's invitation, his invitation to the feast, to be part of his kingdom, to receive his free gift. They know that a Messiah is coming, and yet they have refused, many, it seems, have refused the invitation. Many of them have decided that Jesus is not the one. They've decided that everything is not now ready, and they would rather focus on the toil and labor of their own hands, their own works, in their own ways, rather than receiving the free gift that God has come to give them in Jesus Christ. And so, what happens in the story when these invitations are refused? Well, the master of the house is not content to leave his banquet go to waste, to have his banquet hall empty. He has his servant go into the streets and lanes of the city first to call the crippled and the blind and the lame. And they are called, and they are brought there, and still there is room. What does this group of people symbolize here? For Jesus' audience. This seems to symbolize the people who are still Jews. They are still within the city, but they are the outcasts of society. They are the known sinners, the people that you would least expect. We would expect that the religious people, the Pharisees, should know the invitation and should have heard and should have accepted and come. But here, it's the poor, crippled, blind, and lame. It is people who know that they are sinners, who probably don't have fields to examine, probably don't have oxen to look at, perhaps cannot support a wife. They are invited, and they come. They receive the free gift. They know that they need it. They know that they do not deserve it, and they know that they cannot provide it on their own by their own resources, and they come gladly to receive it. But then there's another group, too. because the house isn't filled yet. The banquet hall still has room. So the master says, well, go out into the highways and the hedges. That is, outside of the city, in the countryside, to gather people. And we don't hear an end after that. We just hear that he's supposed to go out and gather them in. We don't know what happens next. Is the banquet hall filled? So what does this symbolize? Outside the city symbolizes perhaps the Gentiles, the non-Jews, the people whom one might very least expect to come. And notice that the servant here isn't just to invite them, he is to compel them to come in. He is to make them come to the banquet. The Gentiles, it would have appeared, were those who were not the chosen people, who did not deserve the invitation. But our Lord, after his death, resurrection, and ascension, or before his ascension, after his death and resurrection, sends out his apostles to go and not only preach to Jerusalem and Judea, but also to Samaria and to the ends of the earth, to call to repentance people like our ancestors. Because most of us are probably, if not all, mostly Gentile in our ancestry, non-Jewish. We are those who are not the chosen people given the promises of God, but God called us, brought his gospel to us through his apostles and through their successors, so that we might hear, and so that we are here today, hearing God's word, receiving his gifts. We've heard the invitation to come to the banquet, and we get to be here at the banquet, or at least at the foretaste of the banquet. Coming now to be part of God's kingdom, for this banquet in anticipation of the great and full banquet, being in God's kingdom forever. But now, that's the context. That's the context that Jesus is speaking in and the audience he's speaking to. But what about us? How does this now apply to us in our day and age? What should we be warned against as we hear this? Because after all, we are not, probably most of us, Jews. We are here today heeding the invitation, thanks be to God, by the grace of God, by the power of his Holy Spirit. Well, it might be easy for us who have heard God's word, just like those Jews did, to also start to despise the invitation, to someday be led astray by the devil, to think that the works of our own hands, the things that we have to do in this life, to earn money, to maintain our homes, to maintain our lifestyles, that these things that involve our own blood, sweat, and tears are more important, are better, give us more benefit, more profit than coming and receiving a free gift, and are in fact better than the free gift. We might be tempted to think that because it's free, it's not all that important. Because it's free, it's cheap. It's not worth it. But it's not cheap. The body and blood of Jesus that you receive today was very costly. It was the body and blood of the Son of God. That's how much it took to pay for your sins and my sins. That's how bad it was. It was not just the death of some other creature of God that could pay for this. It was not the death of some other man that could pay for our sins. It was the death of the Son of God. Only the death of the Son of God could pay for your sins. This says that our sins were great. And it also says that the love of our God was also great. That he was willing to go to such lengths, to pay such a price, to pay such a cost, to come down to this earth, to take on our human flesh, to suffer in our place, to do what we could not do, to pay the debt that no amount of money could pay, to buy us entrance into the great banquet, so that we can have a free gift, so that the tickets that we receive to this great banquet are free, are paid for in full, and that we can enter now into the presence of our Lord to have this banquet here, to receive the forgiveness of sins, to receive this free gift now, be part of our Lord's kingdom, and look forward to the day that we are at the great feast in heaven forever. Come, for everything is now ready. Let us never despise that invitation. Never believe that that's not all that important. That perhaps later everything will be ready. Perhaps later we can receive it. Perhaps our own works, our own efforts, our own toil on this earth is more important, is more pressing than receiving the free gift from the one who made our bodies and our souls and all that we have, who made our minds and our muscles, who gave us all that we have, who put us on this earth in this time and place, and gave us an economy and a place where we can work and have jobs and earn money, and he gives us our daily bread. The same one who gives us all of those things, the fields and the oxen and the spouses, the homes and the jobs, this same one who provides for us all of those things and allows us to work for them gives us a free gift now. He says, come, for everything is now ready. Here for you now, today, at this hour, come. Now it is ready for you to be strengthened in faith toward him and in love toward others, so that you are preserved in faith until the day that he returns again, or you die, whichever comes first, and you look forward to the eternal wedding feast, the eternal feast of the Lamb in his kingdom. Come, receive, believe, be with our Lord, because everything is now ready. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.